What's going on? What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of the Successes Within Reach podcast. This is season 3, episode 24. Today, I'm joined by a special guest. He's a husband. He is a brand strategist, and he is the owner of Build Greater Brands, coming to us from Texas, Mr. Harvey Lincoln Jr. What's going on, sir?
What's going on, man? That is me in the flesh.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Glad to have you on today.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get started, ladies and gentlemen, as always, I want to remind you, you can join in the conversation. Submit your questions and comments at www.facebook.com/SIWR podcast. Once again, submit your questions and comments live and we'll get them on the air and answer them at www.facebook.com/SIWR podcast. All right. So for those that don't know who you are, share a little bit about yourself and how you got into the branding space.
Yeah, man. Okay, cool. So again, my name is Harvey Lincoln. I am, as Shannon said, I am a brand strategist. I am the founder and CEO of Greater Brand Strategy, Design, and Marketing. My website, buildgreaterbrands.com. I have been doing branding for the better part, I would say about 8 years, as a whole system of services, if you will, or a full service branding company for about 8 years. I've been in the design space, and we'll get to the difference between branding and design here later. But I've been designing, man, I would say as far back as like 12 years old. I'm talking about Dragon Ball Z GIFs created, MySpace pages.
Oh, man.
I've been designing for a while, but for the better part of 8 years, really, turned it into a full service branding company, Greater Brands, where we really focus in on building out brands that are really connecting with people, starting with strategy, moving into the design space, and then from there going into marketing. Outside of branding, as you said, I am a husband. I am actually a newlywed, roughly a little over a year, full-time entrepreneur. So outside of that, listen, you'll probably see me in the creative space watching some Marvel or some creative movies or whatever, man. I just like enjoying life. So,
yes, sir. That's what's up. That's what's up, Team Marvel over here as well. So I'm with you on that one. All right. So and building brands, do you build more personal brands or company brands?
Man, great question. So I do both of them. So I do have clients that are on the personal level. They're building out personal brands, and I do have corporate clients as well. I do have a thought process in when it comes to corporate, that a lot of corporate companies need to have an aspect of personal brands, and also personal brands, if they want to scale to a large level, they're going to have an aspect of corporate, meaning scalability or team involvement. And so they kind of go hand in hand. I don't necessarily see them separate, because they need, you can look at a lot of corporate companies, they need more personal aspects to their brands that are less corporate. And so I do them both.
Okay. That makes sense. So, you know, we were talking about this a little bit before we came on air. Like, nowadays you hear so much about people saying, I'm building a brand, I'm making a brand, or I have a brand, especially like on social media. So tell us, for a person with your expertise, what elements actually make up a true brand?
Ooh, man, that's the question right there. That's the one. So I first and foremost would say that everyone does have a brand, right? Everyone has a brand. It's just a matter of whether it's good or not. If you're not proactively building a brand, then you're by default building a brand. Because when we talk about a brand, if I was to summarize it very simply, it's really about the perceptions that people have of you, whether it's valuable or negative. And so if you're not doing anything to build a proactive, valuable perception, then you're by default allowing others to define it for you. And mm-hmm. so whether that's on a personal level, just as a regular person, or whether it's on a business level, you're building a brand. And so, you know, like to your question, you know, it's about asking yourself, what kind of brand am I intentionally building it for the outcomes that I want to serve my business and my company, or my impact, or am I allowing other people to define that for us? And if we leave it to other people, you probably like the outcome of your brand, and you're never going to be able to overcome what people say about you unless you change the narrative by being intentionally about building it.
Most definitely. So how much of a company's success would you say is built upon their branding more than their actual product or service?
Yeah, man. Yeah. So I would say a company can be successful at some level without intentionally building a brand. You see companies that they just kind of go through the foundational pieces. They just kind of throw some things together and they have success simply because the service is good. And so you can have success in business by delivering good service and not necessarily putting all the valuable components to elevate the value of what it is that you do. But mm-hmm. when you build intentionally, to answer your question, when you build your brand intentionally, it's going to allow a lot of pieces to be easier and to increase the value of what you do. So let's say, for instance, you think about Jordan products, right? The reason why they are so much more expensive than the cost to produce them is because the value that we've ascribed to them through their intentional branding. But had they not built those type of brands off the image of, like, let's say MJ and other pieces that they've done, they wouldn't cost the amount of money that they cost. Mm-hmm. And so you can see a brand begin to have a lot more leverage in the market by being intentional and being strategic and all the elements of the branding process, so that we're constantly building positive perceptions, increasing, you know, the service that is provided, allowing people to understand our messaging and so many different components of the branding process that then makes selling so much easier and can increase your margins by a lot. We will pay a lot more money for a brand that we see is more valuable than we would to somebody that's just a commodity that doesn't put much effort into a brand, because we want to feel that we're investing in something that is worth our money, and we like identification. We identify with things that are good, and that's an okay thing. That's nothing wrong with that. So we're willing to spend more money with companies that we know bring in the quality, have the, you know, the image, have the branding pieces together, because we love what they're doing and we're inspired by it. So increase of margins, man, in business, it helps marketing so much better. You know, marketing becomes easier when the brand is able to undergird your marketing efforts. When you have a brand, people start knowing who you are. People start perceiving a positive perspective. The sales process, it becomes easier to sell and easier to market than if you didn't have a valuable brand. Yeah.
So in terms of, like, say a checklist, are we talking just, you know, logo, color scheme, website, a face to it? What else would you add to that list as far as what encompasses the actual brand?
Well, I'm probably a little different. And those who have gone to the branding space or understand brands, what they are, I would first start off with defining what a brand is. And I would say a brand is none of those elements.
Okay.
A brand is not the logo at all. A brand is not even your services. It's not your product. Those things are important, but they're not what a brand is. So mm-hmm. if we say that we're building our brand, immediately we go into, like, colors. We just love the colorful aspects. Every time we think of branding, we immediately jump into the emblems, the markers. And if you don't know what it is that you're truly building, we can begin to define the brand as those things, right? So if I were to define a brand, it's almost like, I like to use the analogy of relationships, right? Those who are married or those who are in a relationship, when you met that significant other, you was dating them, you was getting to know them, you started having, like, those butterflies. You started having those warm and fuzzies because something about the interaction began to be magical, if you will. It began to be euphoric. It's just like, man, something is in the air. You know, it's the aura, but it's invisible. It's almost like, man, I'm really starting to like this person. And that invisible positive aspect or negative is what a brand is. And so mm-hmm. more practically, it's more so the perceptions. What are people saying about you? You know, your reputation, your you know, it's what people are truly saying about you when you, after you've left talking, you know, at an event, or after you left delivering them your services, after they visited your website. So it's about that positive perception of value. That's what a brand is. It's what people perceive about your company. So if we start there, defining that being your brand, now we have a reason behind the logo, right? So if I'm going, and let's say I define my brand core, you know, you start defining who you want to be, what kind of perceptions you're wanting to be, what kind of experiences you want people to ascribe to you, what kind of energy, what kind of personality, what do you want, that invisible aura that we talked about, as mentioned. When you define what that is strategically, then you can say, okay, well, how does my logo design point to that brand? You see what I'm saying? So now, you know, let's say now we can go down a checklist, because we say, okay, does my brand point to all of that? Whatever that definition is, does my logo look like that? And I would say, you know, on a basic level, your brand starts with strategy. As mentioned with my company, we start with strategy, and what strategy looks like, and this is part of the branding process, is answering the business question. Branding, for all those components that you talked about, branding is about answering and solving a business or an impact problem or a need, right? Whether your business is a service business, monetary, or whether it's an impact service, branding seeks to solve that through design and all the other components. So if we go down a checklist, we start with your foundations, understanding, you know, your purpose of existing, who your audience is, so, you know, who you're, how you're planning to serve them, your purpose, what is your mission, your values that creates the culture that embodies what you want to be as a brand. Does that make sense? And then, and so after we go through those defining pieces, the next place as far as like a checkoff list would be, okay, well, how do we position ourselves in the market? You know, before I can design those logo pieces, I need to say, hey, how am I positioned? What does my competitors look like, so that I can position the brand and design the brand pieces properly through the branding process, so that I can stand out amongst the audience. And so those are four pieces, starting with your core, what is my position? And then out of what I discover from that research process, and that's a branding component, now, how do I then package my messaging? How do I then find an advantage or a gap to fill with my services? You know, and that can be as like a podcast. You know, if there's tons of podcasts out there, how do I do it differently so that I can, am I positioned properly to answer and fill a need in the market? Does my brand answer that? And is it positioned properly to stand out? So after we've gone through those strategy phases, man, going through your messaging, going through your core pieces, going through your positioning, we then go into to define what I look at as your brand personality. In the branding space, they call it brand archetypes and so forth. I just call it brand personality. And I think this is probably one of the fundamental pieces to start with, a personality, because I like relating it to relationships, man. Branding, building a brand is like building a love relationship. It really is. It's a romantic process. It's about building relationships, because business is relational. Business is deeply relational. And the more the more we can make our brands relational, the more we can make our brands human, if you will. And it's not so corporate, blue tie, robotic. We make it relational, and they can feel that through how we interact with them. Then we can relate to it better. And that starts with defining the personality. I'm trying to think of companies. You think of, matter of fact, it's so funny. Earlier before this call, I'm getting ready to put some decorations on the wall back here. And I was probably going to put a picture of Iron Man, because the reason being is because if there's any superhero in the world that I would liken my personality to, it would be Iron Man, because his personality is witty, but intelligent. He deeply cares about people. He's the hero. He has all those strong attributes that a personality would have. And I like that. I liken myself to that in personality wise. But when it comes to your brand, defining that personality, what is my brand personality? How does it sound? How does it articulate itself? How does it show up in a room? What is it? How would it dress? How would it, what language would it use? What is the tone of the language that they use? You know, all those things, so that now I can relate to an audience that I'm trying to reach. But at its core, I'm not being what I want to be. I'm seeing what does the audience that I'm trying to service relate to the best. And I'm fashioning my brand to meet that need, because that's what's attracting to them. So that's just the first component. I don't want to keep talking. I know you have a question. Listen, we're talking about branding. Like, we could go there.
Hey, it's all good, my brother.
Yeah. So and these are things, honestly, you know, entrepreneurship right now, man, is such a buzz. And mm-hmm. we are quick to get out the gate, right? We're quick to get out the gate. And I get it, right? We want to, you know, we get excited and passionate. But at some point, we're gonna end up having to rebrand, especially if you're trying to go to the next level, because it has to be able to support where you're going. And you have to ask yourself, does my brand currently support the level of client I'm trying to reach and the level of service I'm trying to provide or the level of business I'm trying to aspire to? And if it doesn't, that's a sign to rebrand. And it mm-hmm. starts with strategy, defining those cores, your messaging, understanding your audience, building everything around that understanding of your audience and your positioning, defining your personality. And then from there, we can start getting into the design piece. So if those were checkoff lists, those pieces go way before, because that's what is the foundation to all of design. Design answers a business need, and that's the strategic part of how then design plays a factor. Because one thing I always tell my clients, one of the biggest questions I ask, why are we doing it that way? Mm-hmm. Why'd you design the logo that way? And a lot of times, Shannon, it comes to, I like it. But how does you liking it relate to your clients liking it? Just because you like it doesn't mean everyone else likes it. That's services.
Man, I can't tell you how many times I've had that conversation. Like, people have to realize everything that you're setting up for your business, it's about your ideal client.
Yeah,
it's not for you. You aren't buying your own product or service. So I'm 1,000% with you on that one. Dude. You know, but I wanted to ask that question because, you know, like we were talking about before, like there's so many people that are, I hate to say it this way, but it is what it is. They're kind of fooled by social media and the gimmicks and the grab posts, and they don't really realize what encompasses building a brand. So that's why I was saying things like logo and website and everything, because I wanted you to come in and let them know, actually, this is so far down the road. Like, that's not how you begin building a brand. And I wanted people to realize that you have to be intentional and strategic about the moves that you make, because how you come out the gate and your first impression is going to set the tone for so much that you do down the road. Or like you just alluded to, you'll end up having a rebrand, which for some, it can be a quick fix as getting a coach or a consultant. And for others, it can be super costly to have to do a rebrand.
Yeah. And you know, what I see even with rebrands, and I've seen it with a lot of clients, is it's sometimes it's hard. You know, once you start getting out the gate, you start getting attached to certain things that you do, trying to rip an attachment, it's like breaking a relationship because you love it so much to like, hey, guess what? We got to let that go because it doesn't relate to your audience and it's not serving the need of the level of business you're trying to aspire to and or the client that you're trying to serve, which is where the struggle piece is going. And design answers a business problem. Most people start at design, and that's the wrong place to start when it comes to building a brand. You do not, I work with designers, I coach with designers all the time, and there's many dope designers, and there's even designers that are doper than I am, but they don't know branding, and so they just design. It's no good if you have a beautiful brand, but it doesn't solve a business need. And so it has to be both, and it has to start at that strategic level of itemized strategic conversations and definitions so that we have the foundation of all the design components.
Yeah, you know, and it's why those that follow the podcast, you know, you've heard me say several times with multiple guests, this is why you need to invest in a coach or a consultant when you're building your business, because you need someone to fill in the gaps of what you're not seeing. Mm-hmm. And also you need that expertise to let you know, actually, you're starting on step 10 when you skip 1 through 9, as well as what Harvey is saying, like you have so many things that you have to be meticulous about. You can't just jump out on the deep end and go and find somebody because they say, hey, I create logos for $5. Like, that's not where you want to be starting, you know.
Right.
First of all, because $5, you're not going to get a really good logo.
Yeah. let's say, you know, because there are some designers that will design for half the price, cheaper. You know, you think about entire communities, $5, $10 for the communities, but you can measure the quality of a designer is does their design answer a business need? And a lot of times we may have articulation for the business question itself if you're doing your own strategizing for whatever budget sake. But most designers do not do that. They're good designers based off of what visually appeals to y'all's conversation, but there's a bigger conversation that designing has to answer. And this is what you see with million-dollar companies, you know, multiple six-figure, million, billion-dollar companies. They had so much that was defined, and all those design pieces are very, very strategic. They didn't do it just because it looked good. They did it with a very strategic and tested audiences and conversations before they put it out to the public. They were able to say, we can pretty much project this measure of success by doing this branding this way, because it's answering the strategic business questions that we unpackaged and discovered prior to going into the design process.
And that's one part that I feel like so many people skip out on, is that test and feedback phase. Yeah. Because like you said, people get so wrapped up in this is what I like, or this is what I designed, or this is the design I came up with, and I just received it from whatever designer. And I'm like, how many people have you sent it to and asked them for feedback?
Listen, you know, there it is. Yes, sir.
And they're like, what do you mean? I like it. And like you said, that's what we as coaches and consultants have to get them past. It's not about you. You know, I'm like, send this out to 50 people, you know. Ask them, if you saw this, would you come in this store? Not knowing what we sell at all. Would this logo alone get you in the store? Yeah, would this, you know, would this get you on a website? People just skip that. And you need that type of feedback, because you can have something that's too complex. You can have something that's too plain. You can have something that you didn't even know is like literally mirroring another company. You know, people don't take that time. They just have an idea and they want to go full speed ahead. And I'm like, it's levels to this. I'm telling you, it is levels to this.
It is so tempting. I get it. We both work with business. So it's tempting. And I know we want to be in business, right? We want to build something. We get so excited. And I think we all at some level have been guilty of that. But it's so tempting to say, you know, I'm going to run past those things. But I'm always big on, man, build it the right way, because you want sustainability. And sustainability is not always what is quickest. Sustainability is what builds strong and then takes off. Whereas a lot of times, I think social media does this to our disadvantage. We're looking for the quick, you know, boost, go viral so I can make a lot of money. And, you know, and those are good. Those are good in and of itself for what they're worth. But if you're looking at building something long and lasting without all the hiccups that can be immensely costing, especially once you start getting, you know, upwards to the higher, touching six figures and beyond, it becomes costly at that point, because you're investing tens of thousands of dollars to the level of success that you're doing. And then once you start going up to millions of dollars and billions of dollars, listen, they are very, 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 they will spend the money because they say, I have to get it right, because getting it wrong will cost them millions of dollars.
Yeah, you know, it kind of reminds me of the quote Jay-Z said. He said, you want to build a trend, or do you want to build it forever?
Yeah, you man, know? Yes, sir.
And
yes, sir.
I'm with you, like, that sustainability, and as he put it, building it forever, that's what I'm trying to build. Like, that trending for 30 days, what does that get you?
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, social media has kind of programmed people to only want to do what's trending and not look at longevity. Longevity is what gets you where to that finish line that you first set out to reach.
Yeah.
What's trending, you're going to have to go back to the starting line once that trend is over, and people don't get that.
Yeah. And, you know, I think too, what's important is, you know, I think what drives those factors is acceptance in a culture. We want to be accepted for doing something amazing. Being an influencer that influences that a lot of people love because of quote unquote what we're doing, or we want to make money. Let's say it's for genuine reasons, or you just want to make a lot of money, and we make those the motivating factor. And if those are the focal points, then you'll chase all of the quick type things, shortcut processes, not building sustainable. But if you want to make real impact on the world, if your why and the purpose for why you exist in your business and your personal brand and life, it has to be deeper than that. You know, it has to be deeper than just money and just the impact and the popularity. It has to, your brand has to be based in solving a problem in the world, in the lives of people. And when you do that, the impact will come. It's okay if influence and being popular comes as a result of that, but that means you have to define what that is at a core level. And that's a more strategic process than just running with some of the trends that you're talking about.
Indeed. Well, ladies and gentlemen, once again, this is the Successes Within Reach podcast, season 3, episode 24. Building a Brand with Mr. Harvey Lincoln Jr. We've come to our first break. This break is brought to you by the CEO Within You, and we'll be right back. I'm ready to get the ball. All right. Welcome back. So we got a question from Melissa. Melissa says, which is funny, we were kind of just talking about this. She says, but how do you go about creating or selecting the right logo? There's so many options out there, and I don't know whether to use an image or something fancy like calligraphy letters for my new pet grooming salon.
Great question. Okay. So if there's one thing I'm going to stress and I hope it we grab hold is, brand, you're building your brand has to start strategic, because once you have the definitions of the strategic strategy and those core elements answered, you can begin to have the foundations to how do we define those design elements. So the first thing is you have to know your audience, right? You have to know a lot of their pain points. You have to know what their pain and their ambitions, or what I call misery and miracles. What makes them miserable and what would be a miracle lifesaver to them? And so for your audiences, like, you know, I'm assuming it's a pet company, you know, what is it that they're needing that you're going to provide a service for, and why do they need it? And really dig deep into those questions of what it is that they're needing and what they aspire to, and then begin to write out keywords that define those pains and those ambitions and those desires, and allow those to be frameworks that you can leverage in design, right? But then also you'll be able to have a target group of people to begin to ask questions to. Most companies, I think about Apple, before they come out with the new iPhones, they beta test it always. They don't just put it out there. They have hundreds of people that are just testers of their devices and all of their innovations, and says, hey, what do you think about this? What can be different? What can be good? And then they get those feedback so then they can refine it. So mm-hmm. Answer your question. You have an audience, you have some elements of keywords based off of their pains and ambitions. Now you can start brainstorming one names, because really it doesn't even start with the logo. It starts with having the right name. But let's say you had the right name. Now you can say, okay, what can I potentially brainstorm with a logo? So as an example, and this is kind of revisiting what Shannon and I were talking about a moment ago, is when you get a logo, you should be working with a person that can provide you several logos, because one may not be enough for it to hit. You may need a group of about, most of the time when I do logos, I've probably sketched out or drawn out or made a, you know, a lot of renditions of a couple of concepts that could work, and that could be somewhere up to hundreds of different logos, and these are $1 million companies. So mm-hmm. that we land in the right place, and then from there, you know, you may have your core team that says, okay, of these concepts, here's about 5 ones that we feel is the best based off of our assumptions. We start with our assumptions, because that's the only thing we can do. And our assumptions are based off of what we've answered in our strategy. And then we're going to design those, whether it is a word marker or whether it is a letter marker or whether it is an element or icon marker. And we're going to beta test it to a group of strategic people. We're not talking about asking your grandma, your mama. We're asking you to ask your daughter, your son, who's only 13, who has no concept of business. Ask the group of people. And your best thing is to find groups. Here's an easy way to do it. Join a group, a pet group. And again, I'm loosely saying these words based off of her question. Let's say that's a pet group. And drop those logos and say, hey, pet lovers, I'm starting a new business. I want to see what y'all think about these logos. My core brand is about creating a company defined like in these ways from your strategy to resonate in this type of way, to build these type of perceptions, to connect with this type of audience for this reason. Which one of these 5 logos speak to you in that way? And mm-hmm. get their feedback, right? And then from there, you can say, okay, this could be a word marker. This could be a letter marker. this can be an element marker, you know, marker, but you have a few to work with, and now you're testing them, seeing how they're working in the market. And then that's how you can begin to narrow down what resonates the best. Or maybe you need to change, what would they want you to change in that marker, so that you can finalize a final rendition of a logo that is good and resonates to the audience that you're trying to go with.
I love that. Like I was thinking a lot of the same things. Like, you have to utilize those focus groups. And I feel like if you're going to use social media and you're a new entrepreneur, use social media for your focus groups. You know, like Harvey was saying, join these groups. There's a group on Facebook for anything you can think of in this thing called life. Absolutely. Any category, any niche, you can find that group. Yeah, exactly. And it's free, you know? So like you said, find a group, you know, some people that you really click with, let them know what you're doing, and then drop those in there. People will give you their opinion. There is one thing that human beings love doing. It is giving their opinion.
And the cool thing, Sharon, is over time, because I do recommend that every brand builds their own community, starting with their clients and then building the indirect community of people that just love to connect with the activities of what your business serves. Let's say you have a pet business that serves pet food, as an example. I don't know what you serve, but as an example, well, maybe you could start a community of just pet lovers and just build relationships, and that can potentially turn into, you know, them buying your pet food. But what you can do is you build a community that then you can always test, how does this resonate with the people that I would essentially want to sell to in time? So what that does is a couple of things. It gives you valuable information and insight that is strategic, but it also allows you to build content, because now your audience feels like they're involved with how you're doing things, which they want to have a part. They feel, now I have a part to play in what it is that you're doing. That means you care about me. Now you're building beyond business. This is now relational, and people connect with that. People will connect
Yeah. You know, Melissa, you know, you got to remember, I always talk about on here, creating an experience for your customers. Yeah. That's how you turn customers into clients. You have to build that experience. And this is a part of it. You know, like Harvey was just saying, giving someone the opportunity to get in on the ground floor of helping you create and design your business, that's an experience that a lot of people don't get. So in doing that, you'll have people that end up becoming 10, 20 year clients of yours, because they can say, man, you know, I remember when we were helping her pick out the logo, and we were helping her change the colors of this, this, and this. Like, that's something a lot of people don't get to do. You know, back in the day, people had to, you know, big companies had to bring people in to a conference room and sit 20 people in there, and they called them focus groups. You can do that now with social media, or, you know, finding people that are already in the entrepreneurial space. You can also, let's see, you say you have a pet grooming salon that you're trying to open up, you know, reach out to some other people that do dog or cat grooming or whatever the case may be, you know, and ask them, what are some of the things that you went through in creating your business? But more importantly, what are some of the pitfalls that you had? Yeah. Remember, we can't learn anything by only the positives of it. You have to learn by some of the negatives as well. And take that feedback that you get from the people that you send your logo ideas to. Don't just say, oh, well, I really liked blue and purple and whatever, and then everybody's telling you, no, that should be red and gold. Like, listen to that feedback. People are telling you how your logo design made them feel. Mm-hmm. You know, that has a lot to do with it.
And, you know, Sharon, to answer that question in even more of a different way, is, we got to understand what the logo is supposed to do, right? What is the logo supposed to do? And what is it, how does it solve, what business question does it solve, or what impact solution does it solve? What is the purpose of it? And so when making a decision, we have to ask questions, especially when things are provided. You know, I always say, okay, well, is this logo useful in a variety of different contexts? Does it look good on a business card? Does it look good on a shirt? Does it look good on a hat if it was to be on merch? Does it look good, you know, on a billboard, on signage in a potential store, on the side of a truck? All that, you got to ask yourself the question. This is what a lot of designers don't do that don't have branding acumen, is that I need to know, where is this logo going to be seen that could potentially build a perception with somebody that connects with that touch point? And so if the logo is too complex, it's an element that's super busy, it just doesn't look good on a business card. It's not useful. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look good on a shirt, because all of the definition that you try to put into the logo is just totally lost in some of those touch points, which means it's not a good logo at that point. You know, so from there you can begin to ask, what is the uses of it? Does it fit the, is it usable? Is it memorable? You know, things like that. Does it stand out? Is it simplistic in the sense that it's usable? But then also too, your positioning. And that's why that strategy is so important, because you should have, by this time, before you got to the logo, you should know at least, I always start locally. If you're a very, very small, if you're a small business, local small business, and then go into metropolitan cities in the state, and then, you know, regional states, and then nationally and internationally, depending on what level you're at. But let's say you're a local company. Who are the competition out there? What's already resonating in the minds of people when they think of grooming? What does their logos look like at a very minimum? And I'm not saying they're the standard, but you have at least insight to say, at the very minimum, I know I need to position myself amongst those options that people can choose from. And so those begin to be questions to say, does this logo speak to those areas of positioning, of client testing, usability, products, so subsidiaries, the places your icons will be on. And then from there, you can begin to eliminate which ones don't answer those questions. Color psychology, you know, does the colors I'm using, does it, you know, visually, all those things are important. It's the psychology behind it. When we go outside and see a blue sky, we feel good. It's just by default, mm-hmm. it affects us. It's divine. I believe it is divine. It's God-given in how he created creation. And so forth. But even from a psychological, cultural, psychological, colors do things to us. And we want to make sure that when they see it, it impacts them. It does what we have proactively researched and understood we want it to do when they encounter it.
I like
that. That was a long answer. I hope that wasn't too much.
No, it's all good. Hey, but that was an important piece though, man. A lot of people don't take into account the color psychology piece. And it's something that, you know, we have to teach a lot of our clients, because people don't know what they don't know. And it's such an important factor, because you could have the entirely wrong color scheme and wrong logo for your type of business, and it's evoking an emotion in people that are looking at it that you're not trying to get across.
Why am I so angry? I'm supposed to be at a big chair. I feel angry up here. What's going on?
Exactly. You know, or you got like a million colors and a cartoon logo, but it's supposed to be a luxury brand, you know, brand. Right, so it's right. Like, come on, man.
And the cool thing, man, is that I like the saying, and I think we've all heard it in the business space, is that success leaves clues. If billion-dollar companies don't do this, ask your question why. Now, I'm not saying we may not be a billion-dollar company, right? But they understand things we don't, because they spent the money to get access to the information that we don't have. So we can at least, and that's what's so good about research and the strategic part of branding, is you can do, let's say, the top five companies in your local area, top five companies in the state, in multiple states, in the nation. Who are they? What do they look like? And begin to glean insights so that you can at least, sort of at a reasonable level, you know, begin to apply those to you.
Yep. All right. So we got another question here. William says, I'm in the process of launching a new car detailing business. I have my logos. I have my color scheme, but I can't figure out a slogan or a motto that's catchy. How do I figure out something that will catch people's attention and stick with them?
Whew, that's a great question. Y'all asking some good questions, man. I like it. Okay, y'all gonna stretch the capacity. This is good. I like it. Man, that's such a great thing. So what is a slogan? So a slogan and a tagline are two different things. Mm-hmm. I know they sound very similar, and we kind of get them mixed up. A tagline is a statement that never changes unless you do a high level rebrand. Okay, this is like Airbnb. I believe their tagline is belong anywhere, or something to that extent. That was a bad one. I can't think of a tagline off top. Anyway,
like Nike has just do it.
Just do it. There you go. Boom. Just do it. So their tagline is the beginning messaging point that's pointing their audience somewhere. And they're a motivation company. I know they sell shoes, athletic wear, but they're really an empowerment motivation company that's bigger than just apparel, Nike shoes. They do lots of stuff, right? But they're really, that statement, that tagline is pointing to an outcome we want to have encountered with the brand. And so you have to start, when you think about your tagline that never changes, is what is the biggest outcome you want people to have encountering you? What is the biggest transformation or outcome you want them to have? So if you were to, and this is, I'm going to throw out some general statements. I'm not saying run with this. You can if you want, but don't. I'm not telling you this is your tagline, right? But let's say you are a detailing company. Don't focus on necessarily the detailing service part of it. Why? What's the reason they want the detailing? Well, they probably want a sense of identity. They want to be able to have confidence. So it could be something like travel confident everywhere you go. That would be an example of a tagline that's speaking to an outcome. Now, it doesn't seem like it talks to detailing, but your detailing is actually serving a bigger need. And that's what we got to see for that strategy. Is what I just want my car cleaned. Why do you want your car cleaned? Well, because I feel a certain way when I drive around and look good. I have more confidence. You know, I feel like I'm taking care of something I invested in. And so we got to figure out what those core elements is and start thinking, how can we say it in a single, simple statement that's starting to point them to the ultimate outcome that they really want at the core of their heart when they're seeking you for your service. So you're bigger than you're bigger. Your company is bigger than just the immediate need that you accomplish. It's serving a bigger need that they're truly seeking. And we got to get to that. We got to find out what that is. So a tagline. You asked about a slogan. That was a tagline. And I wanted to define the tagline never changes. It stays with, unless you change your brand or rebrand in a different direction. Your slogan deals with campaigns. It's campaign specific. So let's say you were going to run a campaign for whatever it is. I don't know what the campaign would be. Let's say you was running an advertisement for interior leather vehicles. I don't know. Your slogan would speak to that particular advertisement. And it changes constantly. You have slogans for everything, right? That's okay if it's flexible because campaigns change and your slogan will start moving somewhat like a tagline does, but it's speaking to the specific thing that you're advertising for, which always changes through the lifetime of your business. But I'm assuming you're speaking to the tagline and not really the slogan. The tagline is the overall core meaningful thing that your client is seeking to achieve in their heart as a result of your immediate service. And you're going to say that in a single statement. So to get more specific on how do we find out what that statement is, start brainstorming words. What are the words that speak to that outcome? What is the outcomes that they want? Start brainstorming those. Start thinking of the words that are surrounded to it. You know, we did those brain maps in school. I was coming to effect. Now I get it. You know, start getting those words, start going to the dictionary, you can start getting to, okay, well, because messaging has to be understood. So if I were to use a word like, I can't think off top. Let's say innovation, you know, that's a big word, but I may need to simplify it down to relatability, right? Mm-hmm. We understand it, but how can I say that word in a relatable way? So your brainstorm will begin to do that. So now let's say you have a couple of, you have words on this brainstorm map of client, the heart client outcome that they really want to achieve and desire as a result of your service. What are some words that describe those? Then what are some phrases or what are some simpler words that describe those immediate words? And now we got to think of personality as well. How do we say it with our personality and voice? What do we, if I wouldn't have a martial arts company, I wouldn't say anything to the service. I'd probably like teaching you to kick butt and maybe use some other talk words, but that would be the slogan. I'll teach you to I'll let you make the colorful. That would be because I resonate. It was like, okay, now I have personality because business is personal. We can't be so deep in the corporate aspect. And that's one of my missions at the heart of what I do with branding companies is bringing personality. And the reason why is influencers, social media has proven that influencers are more effective in connecting online than corporate companies, which is why they're now partnering with influencers so much in their because they're realizing they're boring. Corporate companies are boring.
Yes.
They're boring. Yes. So now they're having to change the game and become more relatable. So instead of saying, you know, techniques to to fine arts. No, teaching you to kick butt. It's like, yeah, I feel something. I feel sometimes like I can go, I want to check out this class. So you want to think of a way to energize the clients in your statement, bring in your personality, which you should have already defined. You know, if you have a rigid, a rigid personality, or I would say rigid, a bold personality or a spunk, whatever you define it as, or whatever you define that as, it needs to resonate with your personality as well. So I hope that answered the question. And I didn't go too far into it.
All good. All right. The next one comes from DeAndre. He says, I would like to start a YouTube channel to showcase my drywall and plaster business. How important do you feel branding will play a role in creating a channel?
Branding is one of the biggest roles in any business. And your channel is a subsidiary expression of your immediate drywall and plastering business. So, and I say subsidiary because it can be a service within your main service. It becomes a branch of service within your main service, but it's also a marketing method or connection method. So it's a little bit of both of them. So branding absolutely is important because we defined at the beginning that branding, building a brand is strategic first. So we need to strategize on what the channel is going to be about. That's branding. I think we have to have a strong disconnect from only associating design to building brand, because you need to define the strategic aspects of the YouTube channel. Who's your audience? Go back to your audience. What do they want answered? What is their pain, their misery? Goes back to those same elements, because those are going to be your pillars that you're going to talk about on your channel, or else no one's going to tune in. You're not answering questions people are asking. What are the questions that they want answered? So that becomes the branding process. And if you can map that out, now branding becomes extremely important. And then we go into your definitions, which you, at this point, if you're starting a YouTube channel, you should have already had a brand identity. And by brand identity, I'm meaning we typically think of just a logo, but we shouldn't be just getting a logo. Anytime you get a design piece, you should be getting a brand identity. And what that means is the logo, your colors, your text, your fonts, your textures, your images, your imagery, all that packaged together to express your identity that then gets expressed through all of your design pieces, to include your YouTube banner pages, your logo should be on there, to include, like you see on the screen here with the podcast, it has the branding, the colors of the company, all those are consistent. So branding becomes important because consistency inspires. If there's breakdown in messaging and communication, we tend to get confused and our brains will shut off quickly. It's just proven mentally and psychologically that's what happened. And we can get lost in communication. So all those have to be consistent, because consistency inspires passion, and passion will help you sell. And then so your message on the channel is the branding process. Now your expressed visual expression, meaning your colors, your text, all that consistency. And then your personality. Okay, I can do every, let's say you have five people in the room. All of us can do the same podcast, but personality is going to be a big distinguishing factor on how people connect with you. Personality is the biggest thing with branding. Brand is, how do you show up? And do you show up in a way that people want to consume your content? I may not even buy your service, but I'm just like, yo, I'm sitting here, you know, eating some food and walking the drywall YouTube, because it's so entertaining. It's so fun. You have to be so rigid to where it's informative. Sometimes if you can combine inspiring, informative, and entertaining in one thing, and you have a beautiful formula for whatever it is that you're doing. And it can be hard, but it takes strategy. And sometimes it takes courage, because it means stepping out of your box and doing things that you mentally probably wouldn't think of doing. But this isn't pertaining to drywall, but I love seeing videos where it's marketing, but you get the person was like, y'all probably have seen them, but somebody's painting a door or something like that. And they're like, hey, and the client asks, hey, can you do it cheaper? And they're like, yeah, no problem. And they paint only half the door and they give them the invoice. They're like, yeah, I can always do it cheaper, but this is what your door is going to look like.
And exactly.
In a fun, funny way. But what they're saying is, we have good service. We connect with people. It's just an entertaining way to still market, build relatability, and the relatability builds an audience and potentially sales that will come out of that.
Yeah, like I always tell people, remember edutainment, you know, like that's what I call it. Yeah, educating people and entertaining at the same time.
I'm gonna have to quote you on that now. I'm gonna have to say that. Edutainment, I like that, man. That's good. That's good. I hope that answered the question though. Again, I'm trying to answer very high level questions because I know there's a lot to unpackage in a way that it's still probably high level at some level at some point. But at least, you know, some ways to apply it.
No doubt. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to our second break. We're going to take a quick break. This one is coming to you courtesy of the Breakthrough Kings. Shout out to everybody on the Breakthrough Kings Network chiming in and tuning in this evening. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back. So in terms of tools or websites for improving a brand, what are some of your favorites that are out there?
Man, that's a good question. I feel like these are all new questions I'm getting. No, it's all dependent on the company and how they're going to express themselves. I mean, off cuff, of course, I think a brand identity is one of the biggest components, and the reason being is and it is, and by tool, I know I'm assuming we're talking about touch points, but I think one of the biggest tools after defining thing is having a very, very solid defined brand identity that's going to connect in the market. And the reason being is if you can build a dope personality, people are just going to love you. And that's what happens from a relational standpoint, right? It doesn't matter how trustworthy you are. It doesn't matter if you're the most reliable person. If I can't connect with you on a personal level and a relational level, I won't be attracted to you. I did a post here a while back, and I asked a rhetorical question. I said, how many of y'all would marry a person that was absolutely trustworthy, but you weren't attracted to their personality? And the reason being, what I was saying is that, yes, trust and reliability is important, but people typically have first connections on a personality level. And then they say, okay, but do you also make sure you have the real deal stuff? But we connect on a personal level, and then we define whether or not they're reliable, trustworthy, have a good service, all that kind of stuff. So if you can have something that's really good, that can leverage you really well in the market. And then the first place I would say, your website is that is like the, I would say that your online real estate, if you will, is where you're going to house everything. It's where you're just going to be your digital salesperson. And so many things, I think that's one of the best tools you can use to help with so many processes. 24/7 sales rep, you know, it communicates your message when you're not there. It, you know, qualifies, disqualifies who works with you. It, you know, books all your stuff. It can do lots of different things, but it houses the core of what you do, even when you're not there to facilitate the entire process. And then from there, I would say any touch point that your brand is going to be expressed through, which is typically like social media, obviously. And then whatever touch point, you know, if you do pop-up shops, things like that, there's so many packaging, there's so many different touch points, but I would say at the core, your personality is an asset, and that is a tool. And then of course, like your website, social media, and so forth, are those touch points that's relevant to your company.
Okay. And one question I've been asking a lot of coaches and consultants that I have on the show, what are your top social media do's and don'ts?
Man, okay. Top social media do's and don'ts. Let's see here. Oh man, top social media do's. Okay, so do's would be on social media with it goes back to personality. Have a good message and have quality content. Putting out quality or low quality content only doesn't help your brand. It just builds consistent perceptions of low quality. And so it's better to like slow down and not put content until you get it good. I mean, you do need to start at some point, but you just have some kind of way of going on and putting valuable stuff out, because it's going to help you in the long run. So valuable content on social media, making sure you have, you know, quality things that you put out at some level. And, you know, I get it. Sometimes we are on budgets. I get that. But at least at some level, we want to consistently put out quality, connecting messaging that's just so critical, because you don't even have to have any quality or any visuals. But if you have a message that resonates, people are just going to consume your content all the time. Storytell constantly. If you can get into the entertain in a way that is good, because you could go wrong. That's adult. Don't entertain in a way that's going to hurt your brand.
Yeah.
Don't say crazy stuff. You know, I always, you know, I know we saw the whole Will Smith stuff. And I was like, from a branding perspective, I was like, this is going to crush your brand. Someone should have been on the sideline as a monitor to you that says, no, because this is going to cost you millions.
Yeah.
And I get it. You know, sometimes we're human, right? You know, so. It's not to, you know, rag on that, but those are just things like we need to monitor what we do. Don't put out something that's going to hurt your brand. Don't talk about stuff that's going to destroy your brand. And I get we have personal stuff like that. You know, I get it. I'm not telling you don't do that or do certain things, but make sure that it's aligning with your personal life definition of what you want to be known for. And your business should also be a reflection of that as well, those values that you have. And be consistent. So be consistent on social media, have amazing messaging, have high quality content. If you can couple it with high quality visuals at some level, don't put out stuff that's going to hurt your brand. Don't say things that's going to hurt your brand. Don't be, inconsistent with things. Those are just, you know, basic elements. Man, I'm trying to think of some high level stuff. don'ts. I'm trying to think. Here's one that just recently happened. I've been ragging on it here recently. Do not jump in people's DMs that you haven't built a relationship with. At some level, we don't do spam. Business is relational, man.
Yeah.
We don't spam. We don't put desperation. All those are repellers. And so make sure you are not doing stuff like that. I say stay far away from that. I know there's some coaches that talk about, you know, aggressively getting into the DM, pitching to anybody and everybody. But listen. Relationship, branding, a business is relational. It's relational, not transactional. Business, a good business, and brands. I would say brands is not just transactional. Brands are relational and transactional. So the brand is relational and transactional, whereas business in and of itself is just transactional. There's no feeling behind it, if you will.
Well, you know, it's one of those things I ask a lot of people, because I know everybody has their own list of do's and don'ts. So it's always interesting to me to hear from other people in the coaching space, you know, because we deal with clients that sometimes we have to end up becoming their social media manager. And, you know, like I've had one that I completely had to tear down his whole page, like the entire page.
Yeah.
You know, it was really, really bad, you know. So I always ask people, like, what's their list of do's and don'ts, because it's really interesting how people think. And, you know, like you said, the things that some people tell you to do, others are like, no, that's number one on my don't list. Like, I agree with you on the whole DM thing. Like, it's always hilarious to me when people start out saying, hey, can I ask you a question? And I'm like, all right, cool. They ask a question. And then, but you know, I'll give them one question to see where they're going with it, and then next thing you know, they're trying to get a whole consultation, and I'm like, no, we're not doing that.
Listen, I had a situation maybe a few days ago, and I made a post about it because I was just so fired up. It wasn't about that specifically, but I had somebody who added me as a friend. They liked a few of my posts, which I saw because their name was popping up, and then they immediately jumped in my DM and pitched to me. And the pitch was an exact identical script to somebody who had pitched me like 2 days ago. And I was like, they're obviously in the same group around the same stuff. They're not even trying to find out about me. They just, I'm like, and listen, stuff like that, I probably don't even read through all of it. You're blocked in about 10 seconds.
Yeah. that's absurd. That's absolutely,
you know,
absurd.
Another thing I would add to that dues list, and especially at the beginning part, is you need to be relational with people. We got to be slow to just want to get them to buy. There's a nurturing process. If you know the marketing funnel, awareness is at the top of it, and it's the widest part of the marketing funnel, right? And awareness is just them knowing about you, them getting to know you, them building a relational aspect of you. And then as they get the, as they encounter you through content and touch points, through interactions, they're becoming slower and slower down that wheel. They're answering questions through your, through all of your touch points, and eventually can turn into conversion. So you need to be very, very relational until you have almost a signal that this is a, that there's a buying signal. People can show buying signals like, you know, I really need to get some help in this area. That's a buying signal. Now, this open door to say I could probably jump in the DM and do some DM marketing or things like that. But in the meantime, you just need to respond to people. Don't ask a question that is good, a good, valuable question, and people are like, oh, I would do this. And you could hop on there and be like, thanks. No, don't do that. No, like really, like spend some time. And, you know, and if you're a full-time entrepreneur, you don't have any excuse for that. If you're, you know, you can do it part-time because you have a full-time, but I understand there's a time capacity, but you got to engage people, you know, and the algorithms love you for this. I'm going to give you a plug that I do, and I'm probably going to give this away to people that are watching this or watch this back that know me, is the reason why I, when people respond to my posts, I'm going to engage you in some kind of question because I want to keep you talking to me on that one thread because I know the algorithms love me because of it, or love you. And will love you because of it. So go in there and be engaging.
Hey, that's smart, man. That's a gem that you just dropped. You know, like I tell people, don't respond to people with only emojis. That's not going to get them to continue coming to your page or to buy into your product or your service. So I'm definitely with you on the engagement piece.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the part of the show where I leave you with this week's mind shift moment. This week's mind shift moment is simply this. There's no such thing as a perfect time. Sometimes you just got to roll up your sleeves, tie your boots up, and get to it. That job, go after it. That relationship, ask them out. That book, go write it. That podcast, go record it. That trip, go and take it. That business venture, go and launch it. Whatever it is, go after it. Life is too short and unpredictable to live in a box always waiting for the quote unquote right moment. Take what you know, get started, learn as you go. There's no such thing as being 100% prepared. What you're actually doing is allowing the fear of the unknown to stagnate your growth and cripple your confidence. And that is this week's mind shift moment. Before we get out of here, let the people know where they can find you on social media and how they can contact your company for that great, great, great branding, you know, that we know they're going to get after this episode here.
Yeah, man. Well, first of all, thank you again, Shannon, for allowing me to be on here with you. This was so fun. I had a lot of fun. I love the experience that you have on here. So thank you again. If you would like to connect with me with anything pertaining to branding, I take clients, personal brands and corporate brands through strategy, design and marketing. You can connect with me directly via my content on social media, primarily on Facebook and Instagram. You can find my business page at Greater Brands on Facebook or The Harvey Lincoln on either Facebook or Instagram. You can find me on both of there. If you're looking at taking that step to go ahead and say, you know what, I want this guy to be my branding guy, the person that helps me build my brand strategically, and then with design and marketing, you can go to my website at buildgreaterbrands.com, and you'll be able to go ahead and submit a consultation. It will take you through that process, and then we will get you on the books to strategize everything that you are looking at doing and build a brand that you and your audience will absolutely love. So that's how you can connect.
Let's get it. Y'all make sure that you go out there, reach out to them, check them out, get your brands together. Yes, thank you for coming through, gracing the stage this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, I'm your host, Shannon Smith. You can find me on Instagram at @the_CEO_within. Or you can contact my consulting firm, The CEO Within You, at www.theceowithinyou.com, where we provide innovative solutions to emerging businesses focusing on leadership, branding, market presence, consumer analytics, and operational efficiency. And as always, you can find me here on Thursdays at the Successes Within Reach podcast. However, next Thursday, we will be off as everybody will be celebrating Thanksgiving. So I want to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. And always, I want to remind you, you are not designed to be good, but you were designed to be great. And with that, I say peace.